Well, we have been talking all morning long so far about the new $70 billion state budget signed yesterday by Governor Walker, about what he vetoed and what he didn't veto. We heard from political scientist Charles Franklin and our reporter Sean Johnson and Chuck Hornbach, and questions and reactions from you too, and I hope you will continue to participate as we talk in this half of our State Capitol Report with two legislative leaders. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Monday, July 1st. Governor Walker says this is a great budget for the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin. We did, by the way, invite Governor Walker to join us this morning, but he was unable to do so. But the Assembly Speaker Pro Tem is with us, Republican State Representative from Waukesha, Bill Kramer. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So generally speaking, what is this budget going to do for Wisconsin over the next 2 years?
Well, I think the biggest thing you look at is, you know, over $600 million in tax cuts, and with everything else that's being phased in, we're looking at $1 billion of real money that's going to stay in the pockets of Wisconsinites for the next 2 years, and that makes us more competitive with the states around us.
Yeah.
And if you include the direction we're going compared to the direction they're going, we have to look quite attractive if you're looking to start a business, expand a business, move a business, or move your family.
Are there any vetoes by Governor Walker that you did not agree with?
Well, you know, obviously we passed a budget that we were happy with. The governor obviously, you know, saw things he needed to change. But if you look at those vetoes, I mean, it's nibbling around the edges. There were a couple that you obviously saw coming, and some that are, you know, pretty deep in the woods. And you're like, okay, now what is this again? And it actually takes a little bit of research to find out what exactly is being vetoed. But those 57 things are minuscule in comparison to, you know, the tax cut and the statewide school choice expansion, the reform of unemployment insurance, the tuition freeze at the UW. I think the legislature and the governor worked very well to put together a really good budget.
Well, speaking of the school choice expansion, the governor did veto the what was called a loophole for the enrollment cap. Did he do the right thing there?
I've got to look at it again because when we were preparing to debate on the assembly floor, this was the last thing put together, and every time we got it back from the drafters, it either didn't do exactly what we were looking to do, or we discovered a lot of unintended consequences, and that took us, you know, a couple of days to get right, and maybe we didn't. I've got to take a look at it again.
So
that
is there
was a very difficult provision to get structured.
Is there anything you wish Governor Walker would have vetoed?
I voted for a budget that I was very happy with. Anything the governor could do to it's only going to make it better.
Yeah. Well, what about the concern? Your colleague Peter Barker will be joining us in a few minutes. He says that this budget fails the middle class. That a lot of those tax cuts are you know going to be helping the wealthier people in Wisconsin.
Well, when you pay taxes and there's a tax cut, you're going to get the benefit. So people who pay the most taxes are going to get the most benefit, like any other, you know, true income tax cut. So, you know, when you put together a really good budget, you know, the minority party has to find something. And I think, in reality, they're grasping at straws. Because if you make more than $14,950 in the state of Wisconsin, you're still paying a higher tax rate than the state of Illinois. So, you know, we're working to close that gap, working to improve on that. And this is our first step.
We have some callers. Barbara in Eau Claire is with us. Hello, Barbara.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hello. Morning, Barbara.
Yes. I saw the governor signing the bill with all these children around him the other night, and I'm a big health care advocate. I understand that his budget, by denying federal funding, is going to cut out 29,000 children from having health care. Is this correct? And if it is, how do you feel about it as a parent probably whose children have health care?
Well, we are taking 90,000 people off of a waiting list that are under 100% of federal poverty. So that's number one. We're adding those to the list. Anybody that is under 400% of federal poverty can get insurance, heavily subsidized insurance premiums, through the exchanges. And whether you agree with Obamacare or not, that is the law of the land, and it was supposed to be affordable care. So if that's what it is and that's the way it's supposed to work, that's what we're told. We're assuming these people are going to get heavily subsidized insurance.
Thank you, Barbara. Cody in Oshkosh has a similar, related question. Hi, Cody.
Yes, I don't understand how it helps Wisconsinites or it's fiscally responsible to spend $100 million to kick 90,000 people off MagicCare. And also, I just heard in the last report by Sean that it was going to cost $22 million to kick more people off food stamps. How does that help Wisconsinites, and how is it fiscally responsible?
Well, first of all, I don't know that we're kicking anybody off food stamps. We are not making it more difficult to get government benefits. We're incentivizing getting a job. Nobody grows up hoping that they're going to grow up and be dependent on the government. So we're helping them by incentivizing them to go out and get a job and not take government benefits.
What about Representative Kramer, that there aren't a whole lot of jobs out there for people to get?
There are an awful lot of jobs that are available if people have the skills to get them. So, you know, one of the problems we have right now is the jobs that are out there can't find the people with the skills to take them. So, yeah, there is unemployment out there, but there's also a lot of jobs that are available if people have the skills to take them.
Lynn emails, the Joint Finance Committee attached a demand that the DNR can no longer consider the cumulative effects of high-capacity wells when approving them. In our area of Adams and Washera County, we are overloaded with these wells, and they are now putting an industrial dairy that will pump more than 70 gallons per minute. Our lake is already low, and we are concerned about losing our glacial lake and our drinking water. Did the governor veto this?
I'd have to take a look at that, too. I know that was a very contentious issue right up until we voted on the floor on that portion of the budget. And there were a lot of changes in the last week. I didn't see anything that the governor vetoed that, but I could be mistaken.
Yeah. Well, why were there so many non-fiscal policy items in this budget? Why not pass them as separate bills?
Well, you know, it all depends on your definition of fiscal impact. According to the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, which is nonpartisan, it is considered fiscal only if it affects state finances. But I would consider it fiscal if it affects, you know, representing Waukesha County, if it affects Waukesha County finances, I believe that's fiscal. If it affects City of Waukesha finances, I believe that's fiscal. If it affects the finances of the Waukesha School District, which I have the honor of representing, I believe that's fiscal, even though, according to the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, the definition is an item is fiscal only if it affects state finances.
All right. Well, the new budget kicks in today. Is July 1st, the start of the new fiscal year. What is the next order of business? What is the top priority for state government now?
Well, we're gonna take a little bit of a break, and I don't know about everybody, but I know I can use one. And we're gonna come back in September, October, and November, and continue to see if we can't shore up the state's finances, reduce regulation, and reform government.
Yeah. And to talk a little bit before we let you go on why you think that this budget puts Wisconsin on the right path. We are going to hear from Peter Barca that this puts us on the wrong path.
Well, of course we are. It's just for people to assume that businesses and individuals don't make decisions based on what tax rates are and what it's going to cost them to live in a certain state, I think that's pure folly. So the closer we get to Illinois, Minnesota, Iowa, Indiana, and Michigan, the more competitive we are in our region. And we know that we no longer just have to compete with those states around us. We have to compete with all the other, you know, states in the country, and pretty much every country worldwide. So the closer, the more competitive our state can be, according to price, I think people move here because Wisconsin's a great place to live, raise a family, own a business, and retire. We just have to get the finances in line.
Well, on a lighter note, did you have any Kringle yesterday?
I did. I did. I actually, as I was leaving the budget signing, a guy put two in my arms. He said, here, take these home. I'm like, all right.
Well, we have an official state pastry now. Well, thank you so much.
I know. Don't you feel better just about that?
I was going to bring some in this morning, but my grocery store wasn't open. So otherwise, thanks very much for being with us.
I would appreciate if you did.
I would love it. Bill Kramer is Republican State Representative from Waukesha, Assembly Speaker Pro Tem. We will hear from Peter Barca. He is the Assembly Minority Leader coming up in just a few moments. You can join in with your questions and reactions to the state budget at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly sunny and mild. We can expect a high temperature near 80 degrees. Stay with us coming up after 8 o'clock. It's Mondays with Mike. It's the first Monday of the month, so our director, Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, will join us with news for you about Wisconsin Public Radio. And we have a lot of changes to tell you about. New program schedule goes into effect today on the Ideas Network. We'll give you all of the details and welcome your feedback coming up in our next hour. Right now we are talking with state lawmakers about the new state budget. We now welcome in Peter Barca, Democratic State Representative from Kenosha and the Assembly Minority Leader. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Great to be back in your show again.
Thank you so much for joining us. Well, we just heard Representative Bill Kramer say this is a great budget for the state of Wisconsin and that this is going to help the state attract jobs and it will be good for the taxpayers of Wisconsin. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I caught the last point, which was rather interesting, is economically they're righting the ship. But you look at the decisions that they put forward at the end of the cycle going into the following biennium, we'll have a deficit once again. And, you know, it's remarkable to me that, you know, we finally have a surplus because we know that the economy across the nation has improved. While there's been a lot of ups and downs, overall, nationally, we're doing better. So we have a surplus, and they take that surplus, and they're going to turn it back into a structural deficit. And after all we've been through over the last couple of years, it's beyond my comprehension why they would want to risk that going into a deficit. But then in addition to that, this budget will raise property taxes in order to fund education at a time at a huge surplus comparatively. And the decision on Badger Care could prove to be the worst in a generation. And I've said this often, but I feel it so strongly. Any CEO of any company that would decide to pay $100 million more, which is what's going to happen to every Wisconsin citizen, we're going to pay $100 million more dollars in taxes and fees overall for $100 million in taxes for Wisconsinites in order to ensure 85,000 less people. I mean, what CEO would ever make that type of bargain? It's unbelievable, frankly. And the sad thing on top of that is that the estimates by nonpartisan groups say it could have created up to 5,000 to 10,000 jobs at a time when we're, you know, the worst in the Midwest and one of the very worst in the nation in job creation. So, you know, this budget doubles down on policies over the last 2.5 years that make our economic outlook one of the very worst in the nation. And I think that's unfortunate. And even the signature item, which is the $600 million in taxes, is just so unfair. And it won't have the economic stimulus that it could, because it does the opposite of what the governor indicated he wanted to do. He said he wanted to focus on middle-class tax relief. And it was so interesting. At the end of the day yesterday, I stopped out for some ice cream, as we often do in Wisconsin, and there was a guy in line and said, well, you know, what's my share of this $600 million in this tax cut? And, you know, we talked a little bit. He's the average working family. I said, well, you'll get less than $10 a month. And he said, well, how is that possible? That can't possibly be. And I said, well, because people over, making over $300,000 a year, they're going to get, you know, over $125 a month. And this guy couldn't believe it. And, you know, it sounds like a lot of money, but where we should have really focused on the middle class, which we know all economists tell us will, in fact, improve the economy and stimulate people to go out and spend their money and have a ripple through the economy. Unfortunately, this tax plan does the opposite. It focuses on those at the very upper income bracket and leaves people, the average working family, getting less than $10 a month.
Well, the governor did veto 57 things, including provisions that would have kicked the Center for Investigative Journalism off the UW campus, a provision that would have allowed bounty hunters to operate in Wisconsin once again, and there was a loophole that that would have rendered the voucher school enrollment caps meaningless that he vetoed. Did the governor do the right thing in those three areas?
Yes, he did. And, you know, I'm glad to see, I talked with the governor just a few weeks ago. We talked about all these, you know, after midnight backroom deals that were added in the budget that, you know, that I assume he wasn't party to. And, you know, these things like bringing back bounty hunters, which could have led to corruption in Wisconsin, and petty things like kicking the Center for Investigative Journalism off of the UW campus. He did do the right thing there. And I wish he would have gone a little bit further, quite frankly, though, with a lot of these other policy items that the public had no input into, you know, such as making it worse for consumers and better for payday lenders. And, you know, you have people who are in court right now, Joy, whose kids have been poisoned by lead. And one of these budget provisions, I think they came in at about 4 in the morning, that nobody had ever seen, is going to change the rules of the game in court right now, retroactively. The Association for Justice says that's never happened in history before. So I wish he'd gone a little bit further and taken out many of those other, you know, after midnight backroom deals too. But I am glad that he did take those two things out. I think that was really a plus. And he did stick to what the Republicans made a deal amongst themselves to expand vouchers statewide. And they said they capped it at 500,000 students. And they did stick to that deal that they agreed to. But let's not forget, they started this budget where the governor said there's 9 failing school districts based on these report cards, and, you know, we needed vouchers in those districts in order to fix those schools, which, you know, is a questionable theory in and of itself. But what the excuse is for making it statewide now, because not every school district is failing, I think the governor would agree, is beyond, I think, most people's comprehension.
So where do you see the state in 2 years under this plan?
Well, unfortunately, you know, it really doubles down on the same policies that have made us one of the worst in the nation. And that's what I fear the most is, you know, it's not going to have the stimulative effect because you're, you know, taking sort of the George Bush trickle-down approach where you give, most of the tax breaks to those at the very top. You don't really help the middle class. And in terms of job training, which we hear most from businesses, you know, we're not even restoring a third of the cuts that were made over the last couple of years to the vocational colleges, our premier job training agency. And that's really a mistake because we know that we desperately need to train people for the jobs of tomorrow. And we hear it from businesses all across the state. So, you know, the job training kind of elements just aren't in this budget that you wish they would be.
There will be a requirement, though, for those on food stamps to go through, 20 hours work or go through job training?
There is that requirement. Unfortunately, while I certainly would support if we were going to provide people meaningful job training, you know, the type of training that they provide is helping people develop resumes, and that's not bad, but I think that money could have been better spent to actually put it in the vocational colleges, put it into meaningful job training, as opposed to these sort of short-term programs that don't even include technical training. You know, when you have short-term training that actually helps develop some of these technical skills, that can be a plus. But the type of initiative being put forward, I don't think really is going to have much of an impact in terms of actually creating family-supporting jobs.
Well, is this a budget someone like yourself can mount a gubernatorial campaign against?
Well, I'll tell you, it's not clear who's going to emerge as our candidate. I think we'll have a strong candidate. I haven't made any decision yet myself. But I think it is a budget that somebody could easily point to and say that the priorities of our state are backwards and that we finally get a surplus, and you're going to move us back into a structural deficit, and you're going to raise property taxes at a time when you don't need to, and you don't really put forward the kinds of programs and initiatives that can stimulate our economy and put people back to work and have meaningful job training and meaningful economic development kinds of initiatives. That's what's desperately needed by everybody right now.
Well,
across the state, because more people we put to work, the better small businesses do.
Let me bring one quick question. We have less than a minute. Stephen Montorb, you called kind of late. What's your question briefly?
Oh, yes, regarding accountability for economic development, and I hope this budget has it. I really take offense with Bill Cramer's comment about people having a job to pay taxes. Well, you need a job to pay taxes, and are they helping that like job training issue?
I guess you don't think so, Representative Burka.
Well, no, like, you know, I think we know that in the last budget when, you know, we were in deficit, you know, education, job training, you know, got hit the hardest. You know, we cut the vocational colleges by over a third. And now that we're in surplus, I don't know what the excuse is why we still can't afford to fund job training and education programs. Clearly it's needed.
Well, we'll leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Joy. Thank you so much.
Peter Burka, Democratic State Representative from Kenosha and the Assembly's Minority Leader. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Justin Williams and to Robin Cherry for on-air production and direction. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.